Lord, you are worthy, 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 worthy of all glory, honor, and praise. You are worthy because you are holy. And we thank you that you, Almighty God, would look upon us and love us and create a way for us to come near to you. Thank you, God. We love you too. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. What if you were told of a hidden virtue that in essence is the key to all of life? It unlocks the purpose of your existence and attracts the presence, protection, and providence of your Creator. It is the root of all noble character, the foundation of all happiness, and provides the needed adjustments to all inharmonious circumstances that you might face. Firmly embracing this virtue could lengthen your life, procure good health, ensure success and safety, eliminate lack, and guarantee a noble legacy. Is anybody interested in knowing what it is? I want to be front of the line. This was a compilation of some of the things that Solomon said that we would receive if we fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, Psalms 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the groundwork. It's the foundation. You can't bypass it. You build upon that, you've got something to work with. If you bypass that, there will be a day in which destruction will come. The groundwork. I remember when we were getting ready to build this little building, and I was just like, are they ever going to stop messing with the dirt? It's like, oh, man, day in, day out, they're just messing with the dirt, moving the dirt, watering the dirt, testing the dirt. Will you ever just stop messing with the dirt? Now, we got a whole lot more dirt moving out there on the other place, but you know, it's the start. It's the beginning. With wisdom comes so many other things, but first of all, you don't get to come near God until you fear Him. Some of y'all have probably seen me do the horse demonstration. How many of y'all have seen me do the horse sense thing? So I only have 3 points to that whole thing, but the very first one is start with respect. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you don't understand that He is God and you're not, you can't go any further than that. And so even today, let us just remind ourselves, the fear of the Lord is the beginning. It's the beginning. Now, I know that fear is something that we want to avoid. We don't want to fear anything, but the truth of the matter is there's two different kinds of fear, and we're going to look at some of those differences today. There are, and you've probably heard it, there are 365. How many days are in a year? 360 is a circle. Anyway, there's still 360 plus five. Bible verses about don't fear. But this is an unhealthy, ungodly fear. And yes, God has told us that we don't have to fear evil. We don't have to fear man. We don't have to fear circumstances. Why? Because the fear of the Lord swallows up all other fears. The fear of the Lord. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 20 contrasts the two different types of fear. It is right after Moses has received the Ten Commandments from the Lord and is going to bring these to the people of Israel. And they're obviously afraid and have every good reason to be afraid. But he tells them in Exodus 20:20. All right, I got it in here. There it is. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you that his fear may be in you. You see that? There's both types of fear in one verse of scripture. God has told you, don't fear, but fear. Do not fear, for God has come to test you that his fear may be before you so that you may not sin. Verse 21, so the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near. When it comes to the fear of the Lord, there will be those who will push away from the Lord because you have something to hide, just like Adam and Eve, you hide from him. But when you have come to understand the love of God and that his fear actually draws you in, Moses was called by God, come into my presence. But the people were still in their sin and they pushed away from the Lord. Solomon was the one who I quoted previously, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There's so many verses of scripture that he talks about the fear of the Lord. Solomon was the wisest man ever to have lived. Kings would come from all over the world just to come sit in his presence, just to listen to him talk, just to listen to his wisdom, because wisdom being how to rule our lives and our influence. And so the kings would come and listen to Solomon. Some people would just come and look at what mighty works he has done. And over and over and over, he talked about the fear of the Lord. Somewhere in his lifetime, that began to slip. And he began to maybe forget. And that's why we have to come and remind ourselves through messages of the truth of God's word. And so over the course of his life, he began to become sinful and then become cynical. And we have the book of Ecclesiastes, and he says stuff like, it's all worthless. It's all vanity. I work and work, and there's still work to be done. And I play, and I'm still not satisfied and fulfilled. It's like chasing after the wind, vanity of all vanities. Sounds like a sad guy. Wealthiest person to ever live. Wisest person to ever live. But because his wisdom kind of went down as his wealth went up, cynicism crept in. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, you get to the end of it, and he says, here's the thing of it all. Fear God and obey his commandments, for that is man's everything. So what got him started, and after living the life of luxury, the life of pleasure, after doing all of those things and realizing they actually didn't bring any luxury or pleasure or meaning or fulfillment, he comes to the end of himself and says, you know what? Here's what it all amounts to. Fear God and obey him. Fear God and obey him. So this unhealthy fear versus healthy fear, Moses saying, don't fear God, but he wants you to fear the Lord. Don't be afraid of him, but reverence him. There's the difference. Destructive fear is one that causes us to question God's omniscience, his omnipotence, and his omnipresence. That's unhealthy fear. So if I'm fearful of things, then I'm failing to remember, but God's over all things. If I'm fearful of people, then I'm failing to remember that God is above all people. If I'm fearful of my circumstances, I fail to remember I have a God who's above all other circumstances. Amen. It's the fear of the Lord that cancels and eats up all other fears. Because when I am fearing the Lord, I'm not repelled by the Lord. I am drawn to the Lord. Now I'm not afraid of him. I'm afraid of being separated from him. Amen. That's the difference. That's the difference. And so I'm looking at these passages of scripture, and I know that there are some people that say, well, that's an Old Testament teaching, and that's no longer applying to us who are in the time of grace in the New Testament. Let me just read Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11 is a messianic prophecy. This is a prophecy about Jesus. Very clear, verse 1, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. This is Jesus, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. Jesus' delight is in the fear of the Lord. Do you think Jesus was afraid of Father God? The sinless Son of God, you think he ran from God the Father, ran from him in fear? No, but it says in the scripture that he delighted in the fear of the Lord. My dad was in the previous service. Somebody walked in before the first service a little bit ago, and they know me and our family. And she said, it's amazing how this man, talking about my dad, raised such a good man. Now, I think she's a great judge of character. Lovely woman. I love her. She just went up another notch in my... And I said, well, I said, between him and Mama, I had love on one side and fear on the other. My daddy would whoop you like you wouldn't believe. And I'm to this day, I fear him, but I'm not afraid of him. Now, I will say a little bit. Every now and then, I pull my belt off, and just the pop of my belt going through my belt loops make me wet myself a little bit. he's quick draw McGraw. Pow! Broke a belt on me one time because the horse got in the barn and ate all the feed. That was something. So I feared my father. Now I respect him as my father. Jesus respected his heavenly father. He wasn't afraid of him, but he respected him. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of eyes, nor decide the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor. Jesus, it says his delight was the fear of the Lord. In Matthew, he tells us, don't fear man who can only affect the flesh, but fear God. Because he can not only kill your body, but cast your soul into hell. And he's teaching us to have a proper respect for who he is. But he's not saying that we should live a life of being afraid of God, but that we should respect who he is. He's God. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Philippians 2, 12. I'm going to just read them off the screen because there's a lot of scriptures I'm going to throw out there. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. This is speaking of that holy reverence, that amazement of he's God, and yet he allows me to come near to him. So therefore, I'm going to live in respect of who he is. By the way, I don't know if you picked up on it, but I said that some people will say that the fear of the Lord is an Old Testament principle that doesn't apply in the New Testament. How many of you know that Philippians is New Testament? Next passage of scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. What are we saying about the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord says, I'm afraid of being separated from him. And I'm afraid that if I continue to live in a compromised lifestyle, it will separate me from the presence of the Lord. And I am afraid of that. Because I'm not afraid of him. But I fear him. I revere him. I respect him. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Love this one. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Amen? The kingdom of heaven. All this world can be shaken and will be, but the kingdom of heaven will not be shaken. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. That's New Testament. It applies to us. In fact, it's the key to everything. Knowing who he is. One time somebody said that God made man in his own image and man returned the favor. We try to reduce God to be like us. But he said, oh, my ways are higher than your ways. He is not like us, but thank God he likes us. Amen. So this whole spirit of fear, yes, that is real, and it is not of God. God, 2 Timothy 1, 7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Amen? Next passage of scripture. This whole spirit of fear, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. By the way, if you are a child of God, torment has already been taken care of on the cross. The punishment has already been dealt out on the cross. The price has already been paid in full, as Emily said. It's done. So I have no fear of torment. But if I don't know God, I do. Everybody with me? Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Emily quoted Romans chapter 5, verse 8. For God has demonstrated his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's good. Amen. That's why it's called the gospel, the good news. Psalm 25, verse 14. Holy fear This, by the way, that previous passage of scripture talks about there's no intimacy when there is fear. There's no, it kills intimacy. With God, if you're afraid of him, it'll kill intimacy. But if you fear him, it will enhance intimacy with God. Let's go back to the next one. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. I want to get so close to God that I can get near his heart and harmonize my heart with his. And as I am near his heart and feel him, y'all getting what I'm saying? I feel what he feels. I hate what he hates. I love what he loves. As we get close enough to the heart of God, we can look down the arm of God and he says, this is where I'm taking you. Amen. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. And he will show them his covenant. God wants you to draw near so he can show you, this is where we're going, child. This is where we're going. So let us draw near to the Lord in the fear of the Lord. Reverence, what is it to fear the Lord? It's reverence, it's profound adoring, it's awed respect. To fear God is to esteem, respect, honor, venerate, and adore him above anyone or anything else. Amen. Here's the thing. I know, I was new in ministry and going to a Christian college and there are trends that flow through the Christian faith, through the churches. And it was a trend during that time period. And this is when I was trying to really build my understanding of who God is. There was a trend going on. It was like, God is your buddy. Let me just tell you something. God is not your buddy. He ain't your homeboy. He is worthy of infinitely more respect than that. In our limited language, I call God good and great, but as best as we can describe him, even those phrases, good, that he's good and that he's great, it's like calling Niagara Falls a cute little stream or the Grand Canyon a pothole or the ocean a puddle. He's God. Amen. He's God. When Job was going through his time of testing and he began to question God, God finally shows up. I was just talking about this with a brother earlier today. And I said, you know, Job's a struggle for me. When I finally get to the end of the book of Job, I'm like, finally the one person I wanted to hear from, God. Not these other yahoos. And you hear from God and God says, who is it that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Where were you when I told the ocean, you have to stop right here? Where were you when I told the deer, now you can have birth? Where were you when I told, and he just goes in, and then Job says, I'm putting my hand over my mouth, I ain't saying nothing. I am now realizing that I am in the presence of God Almighty. He is God, amen? And he deserves respect and reverence. We drove to the Grand Canyon several years ago, and I heard an illustration just last week about how the fear of the Lord is like the Grand Canyon. You don't say, oh, I don't want ever want to go over there. That's scary. I'm not ever going. No, you spend hours driving and money and fuel and just to go see this thing. And there we were with my boys. They were about this old. And 7 and 9, I think. And there we were standing on the rim, the south rim of the Grand Canyon. And I said, what a hole. That's a big old hole. And I am not one who is satisfied with secondhand experiences. I go to the office. We got there actually late there at the Grand Canyon. I go to the office. If you're going to hike it, you have to have a pass. And I got a pass. And they said, sorry, we have to rescue people out of this Grand Canyon. It was a Right Angel Trail, Grand Canyon. So we have to rescue people from this all the time. You're going to take those little boys down in there? I said, we'll be fine. These are boys. These are country boys. They'll be fine. And we went down. I'm not satisfied with standing out on the edge. We've gone snorkeling, Christy was getting, our first time we were in Belize, and Christy was getting kind of afraid because she's bobbing around in the water, and you see the boat, you don't see the boat. You see the boat, you don't see the boat. She said, I got to get out of here. I said, baby, just look down. Just put your head in the water and look down. And when you peer into the greatness of it, you don't see this stuff out here anymore. Now all of a sudden, there's a whole new world. And I'm not okay with bobbing around on the surface when God says, come near to me. I'm not okay with hanging out on the edge when God says, draw near to me. I'm not okay with hearing about your experience with God and me saying, well, that's nice for you. No, I want to personally experience God. I want to personally experience all the great things of God, but I know who he is. Amen. Brother Mike Jordan, his greatest statement that I say all the time, it's so good. This is wisdom. Y'all ready for it? God must like stupid people. He made a lot of them. And I have watched video after video of people at Yellowstone National Park, been there, drove through there. There's like bumper to bumper cars gawking at animals. And some stupid people want to see how close they can get to the bear. This week, I watched a video of some guy. There's a huge black bear. And he's by Riverside, and he's eating salmon. And this guy, boy, he wants the picture. This is the bear, right? And he is getting close. All of his buddies are gathered around. They're getting pictures of this bear. And the bear just kind of looks up at him. And then the stupid guy, he's an idiot. He finally reaches down and pets the bear. He got away with it. I don't know how. But do you know that bear in one swipe could take his head off? There are people that get trampled by elk. There are people that get gored by buffalo. There are people, because they're stupid. Because they fail to recognize the power. But please understand, that's just creation. Do you know the power of the Creator? Do you know the power of God? And he's holy. And he's holy. And in to get near to the Holy One, you are in danger unless you become like him. Unholiness is destroyed in the presence of holiness. So what do I got to do to get holy? Well, you can't do anything but accept what he has already done. Jesus Christ, the Holy One, who is God and man, died for the unholy one so that we can be made holy. And now God says, you better respect the process. There's only one way. It's come through Jesus. And now once you've come by the way of the cross, draw near to me. Still realizing who I am. Still realizing I'm God. I love nature. I love watching a big old river flow, and we just drove over the Trinity yesterday. It's pretty swollen and rushing, and I love river rafting and canoeing, but you better recognize the power of it or it'll kill you. Flying has become a new love of mine, but you better understand gravity. The crazy thing about gravity, it works. But there is a higher law than gravity. The law of aerodynamics says even though gravity has its law, I can rise above it. Holiness, you better respect it. You better respect that God El Shaddai, God Almighty, El Elyon, God Most High, he's God and he's holy. And my unholiness creates danger. But there is this law called grace. And then by coming by the cross through Jesus Christ, like aerodynamics rises above gravity, grace rises above judgment. Amen. But you have to continue to remember who he is. Don't forget who he is. Don't just say, okay, well, now I'm in his his grace, so he's my buddy. He's God still. He's still God. He is good. It's not actually seen in the movie as well as it's written in the book of Narnia, Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. There's a scene in the book where the little girl is talking to somebody about the lion who represents Jesus. And she says to him, "Is he safe?" I don't remember who she's talking to. He said, "Is he safe? He's not a tame lion, but he is good." Is God safe? He's not a tame lion. He's God. He is God Almighty. He created the amazing, powerful things that we witness in nature with a word. Created it with a word. He's God. He's not safe. Oh, no. But he is good. So when we recognize that he is God, then it changes the way we approach him. We don't run from him. There are dangerous things in this room right now. There's some very dangerous stuff in this room right now called electricity. Nobody said, "I ain't going in that building. It's full of electricity. I ain't going in there." We enjoy it, but you better respect it. We enjoy God. He is more than just someone to be enjoyed. He brings meaning to life. He cancels judgment. He recreates us into something worthy. He's God. Charles Spurgeon says this: "His whole character commands our reverence because it is superlatively holy. And his name is to us a word of awe, never to be mentioned flippantly and never to be quoted without earnest thought and prostration of the heart before him." Here's the truth. Nail this down. Here's the firm truth. You will never find God's wonderful presence in an atmosphere where he is not revered and held in awe. You will never find God's wonderful presence in an atmosphere where he is not revered and held in awe. Let's pray. Father, help us to see you as you are, not as who we imagine you to be. For you are greater than our greatest imagination. You are more powerful, more wonderful. Your love is greater than all the loves that man can muster up times a billion. You are love. You are almighty. You are God. Help us, Lord, to adjust our lives to that truth. Not overlook it. Adjust to it. To see you as God. There's none greater, none higher, none more powerful, none more good. You are holy. You are completely other than. You are not like us. But praise God. Thank you, God. You like us. Beyond like us, you love us. And you've created a way for us to have access to the Holy One. Lord, there's people in this room right now who don't know you. And they've got more reason than anybody on the planet to be afraid of God. But may they shift that being afraid of God to the fear of the Lord, which is a reverence and respect, and draw near to you, calling upon the name of Jesus and being saved, and leaving here with no reason for fear, no reason to be frightened. Leave here in your grace. May that transformation happen today, the transformation of salvation. Thank you, God. that you love us so much that you provide a way for us to come to you. Thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray.